You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I'm joined by Damian Lupo. Over the last quarter century, Damian's actually started and owned more than 30 different companies, including an insurance agency, a precious metals firm, a venture capital company, a financial consulting firm, and more than a dozen real estate investment and development companies. He's also the founder of Total Control Financial, which is something I'm super interested in talking to him about today. So Damian, welcome to the show.
It is awesome to be here. Thanks for having me, Ken.
Man, I'm super excited to have you on because we're going to talk about a topic that I know a little bit about, but I have a feeling you're going to blow my mind with some of the things you guys are doing over at Total Control Financial. But before we dive into that, man, I want to hear your story because I know you've got a crazy story in regards to your real estate investing career. How did that start for you?
All right. So my story goes back to I can go all the way back to Alaska where I grew up. And when I was 11, started up a video game business, hired my parents. It was kind of the beginning of me wanting to be an entrepreneur and being frustrated with somebody telling me no. So that kind of leads to a whole bunch of fun stories where somebody said no and I said, I'm going to do it anyway. And I got escorted out of college because I started a bookstore and I was putting the other bookstore out of business, and the president said, you got to go or shut down. And I said, I'm going to leave and pay for school in 3 days of work. And so I kind of just had this going in different businesses, and ultimately that led to real estate. And I think that a lot of the folks that are listening are doing something that maybe was similar to what I was doing. They were looking for deals, and I basically watched an infomercial real late at night and had just read Rich Dad Poor Dad in 1999, got all excited, decided to buy a house with my Visa card on New Year's Eve 1999, and then went out and started buying houses, taking over mortgages and lease optioning because I was going to be the next Donald Trump. Now, keep in mind, this is 2000, so this is a little different Donald Trump than the 2016
president.
Donald Trump.
You weren't thinking president at the time.
I wasn't thinking president. I was thinking the mogul, and so that was what I was doing. And I didn't – at that age, one of the things that's a big gift is that I didn't really have rules around what is okay and what's allowed and what works. I just made it up. And so I was going out there doing unconventional things, and it turned into a pretty big business pretty fast with all the houses that I bought, like 50, 60 over the first 18 months, and over the first 5 years, it was 150 houses in 7 different markets. So I was definitely the smartest guy I knew by the end of that period. The problem is my ego was definitely driving the show and the vehicle. And in 2005, when I was making a fortune, because that's kind of when the market just was peaking in Phoenix, where I was doing most of my stuff, mm-hmm. I was selling things off, made millions that year. And it was crazy. One Monday, I would get a house back that somebody had rented from me, and I would call a friend of mine and say, hey, I've got a house. He'd say, great, I'll give you this much. And I'm like, that's $150,000 cash net out on Friday, and I give him 3 of those. And so I was having these weeks where I was making hundreds of thousands a week, and I'm thinking, I am so smart. I got really lucky with my timing. And it was a combination of doing something, of taking a lot of action, and the timing, because when you tend to do things, you catch timing. And that's really what happened. Mm-hmm. The only problem is I didn't stop. I went, oh, I'm so smart. So then I went and doubled down. And one of your previous guests was talking about how he had built his stuff up, similar time frame, and then got really clobbered in 2008. And that's what I did. I kind of left fundamentals behind, and I stopped listening to mentors. And I just decided that I knew everything because it had worked the first time. So I went out and levered up, had development projects next to the Bush Estate in Maine and apartment complex next to Graceland. And I had all sorts of stuff all over the place. And I realized how little I knew and how much I had to learn. And I had this great gift from the universe called running over you with a freight train. And it changed everything.
Well, you weren't the only one. I think a lot of people got hit by that same freight train.
No, I you know, it's funny. There, so many people did. And at the time, one of the things I noticed when I look back was I was really blaming a lot of people. I was blaming my partners. I was blaming the market, the politicians, the whatever. Everybody was responsible except for me. I mean, Damian was was a total victim. And it took me a few years to just acknowledge, to finally shift my internal headspace and my spirit around self-responsibility and owning 100% of it. And that's when everything shifted, because if we don't do that work, if we don't actually shift who we are and how we see our experience, that it's our responsibility and we own it, we're going to basically be in the same situation in a different form years down the road that we screwed up the first time. So you have to do that work. And that's what I spent like 3 years doing.
Interesting. So 3 years, you're basically just taking your medicine, probably losing the majority of that portfolio.
That portfolio went into smoke and went up in smoke. And it was essentially, I spent the first couple of years just pretending that I hadn't done anything wrong, that I was still Superman and everything was fine. And really, I was a disaster. And then the pinnacle, or kind of the last thing where it's real obvious that I was still in that space, I had volunteered for a political campaign in 2010 in Connecticut, and I got fired as a volunteer 6 months in. And I pretended I didn't get fired, but I got my ass fired, and I realized, okay, I need to get myself straight here, because there's something wrong with me. It's not anybody else. There's something that needs to be shifted in me, and that's when the work began. That's the hardest work. I mean, truly, that was harder than any real estate. It was harder than any business. It was just fixing the insides and getting that straight to move forward.
That's a good point. You had to take some responsibility, like you said, for yourself, and then make that shift, that internal shift.
Yep.
So what did that look like for you then, coming off of that and kind of taking your medicine, learning those hard lessons? How did you find your way back into real estate and into the company you are now, the Total Control Financial?
Well, what I ended up doing, I spent a couple of years just really talking through it with what turned out to be a mentor and a very close friend of mine. And it started off as a counselor, and he was asking questions and holding space for me to figure out what it was inside me that was rewired, badly wired. And so we kept asking the question, what is true? And that's one of the most powerful questions we can ask if we want to get really conscious in like 15 seconds. What is true? So we kept asking that. And we kept observing my behaviors, and because I was fed up with me, and because I didn't like myself. I mean, now I hate the guy that I was, but then I didn't really like him that much. Mm-hmm. And so we just kept asking those questions, and it took 2 years of those questions and then the application. It's like, you can't just learn something academically and really know it. You've got to live it. It would be like studying martial arts out of a book and never actually going to the dojo. Mm-hmm. You got to be out there doing it. After a couple of years of doing that, I got to the point where he actually fired me as a client, as a patient. And I was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm totally fired. He goes, we're done. We can talk, but you're no longer a patient. Like, you're done. Just go off into the world and, you know, do your thing. And I was laughing. I go, I can't imagine a better outcome working with somebody for a couple of years and having them say that to you.
Yeah. A counselor that says, you don't need me anymore, man. You're good. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
But kudos to you there's so many people that don't have the self-awareness to say, you know what, something's wrong. I need to figure this out. Because it is probably a hit to the ego, it's a hit to the pride to go see a counselor. But I am a huge advocate. If I get sideways with myself, with my wife, with anybody, man, go get a tune-up. And counselors or a coach or whoever, man, it's a great way to let them speak some wisdom into yourself or your business or whatever the issue is. So kudos to you for doing that.
I totally agree with you, Ken, and thank you. That it's funny how people oftentimes go to a coach or a counselor or whatever. They go out and then they argue with that person too. They have this person, they're paying them a lot of money, and then they don't take their advice. They're not totally transparent and candid. And I'm thinking, why would you bother? I mean, that's the whole point of having that opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to grow.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a little dose of humility and take somebody else's wisdom. They've got some experience they can share with you and maybe point something out that you can't see in yourself. Absolutely, receive that and change.
Exactly.
It sounds like that's exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So then from there, how did you find your way to this business that you're in now, the Total Control Financial?
Ken, this was an accident. I mean, it was truly one of those things where I was just looking around and I was in the precious metals business, one of my businesses I had started, and I had a client come to me and say, hey, I want to use my retirement fund or my retirement plan to buy some silver. And I said, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. So it turns out that the tax code allows you to buy metals and do some things with your 401k or with your IRAs. And I got really curious about it. So he did his transaction and I went and investigated and started doing a lot more research, got my tax attorney to look into this. And we spent about a year writing a book and really digging into all the nuts and bolts around having this control of your money so you could do something like buy metals. And then it turns out there's a huge amount of advantage to doing it this way, the way that we set it up, compared to an IRA when you're buying real estate. And as we can go into that, it got me super excited. And I thought, I got to share this with people. So I did. I mean, I went crazy for like the first 4 years. I think I shared this and had like 20 people sign up. It was a booming business. I mean, like I didn't take it anywhere. It was just basically sat dead. And so it was sort of a hobby at that point. And what I realized at the beginning of this year when a good friend of mine came out to visit me in San Diego, I'd spent the winter just staring at my navel, looking at dolphins, wondering what I was going to do. She said, are you going to step up and do something, or are you just going to sit here? I mean, that was really the essence of the conversation. And I said, I think it's time to do something on a bigger scale. So that's when the company got launched and when we started really sharing this, because what happens is people go, this sounds a little funky. It sounds like I don't know if I believe this. It seems too good to be true that I could take my 401k or my IRA money and have control of it and do what I wanted to, like buy real estate. Like I could have a checkbook and I don't have to have custodians or their fees, or and I can actually make decisions without somebody giving me approval, like it's fourth grade. Like, really? And so people tend to be really skeptical in the beginning, which is funny, because after they get past that and they realize that it's 40 years old, it just hasn't been taught to them or shared, they go, damn it, I wish I'd known about this 10 years ago. So it's the exact same experience for everybody. And it's always funny to watch people. And then they get all excited after that, because now they're able to opt out of that roller coaster on Wall Street. They're able to cut the cord to all those Wall Street fees and take control. And what I see with people, and this is the coolest thing, Ken, people find a calm. The anxiety of watching things that they don't have control and their wealth being tied to that, it starts to fade, and they wake up. None of our customers and clients cared what happened to the stock market the day after the presidential election. It didn't matter, because their money had been pulled out and they were in charge of it. They were doing real estate deals. They were doing metals. They were doing things that they actually controlled completely. So it took all the anxiety out of their financial life. It was very, very cool.
Well, you know, you and I jumped on the phone before we started the interview, and, you know, obviously we've talked about self-directed retirement accounts and putting that in real estate, and most real estate investors understand intuitively that there's a way to do that. But then when you said, yeah, but you don't necessarily need a custodian, that's, I was like, wait, what? You can control it yourself. And so that's why I'm super intrigued to understand, well, not only why it might make sense to invest in metals in addition to real estate, because I don't know a lot about that, but also how you might actually be able to avoid using a custodian. Maybe divulge how this works, because I am all ears.
This is a super top secret. No, the funny part is the reason that people have – they typically – people that are kind of exposed to the alternative, especially in real estate, they know about self-directed IRAs, and there is a custodian that has to be in that deal, and that's how the IRA laws have been written. What they don't know about is what we have, and that's the EQRP. And people have heard about these with solo 401ks. It's similar. It's how we design them. It's how we create them for people, and we give them all the options. Here's the difference. The way the laws were written in the 1970s for what we're offering, what the vehicle we create, you are the administrator and the trustee, which means you are asking yourself for permission, and you write the checks for your investments. There's no custodian. The reason that everybody pitches the custodian, IRA, that whole deal, is because those companies get fees every time you blow your nose.
Sure.
Every time you do anything, it's $100, $50. It just goes vertical. So they make sure to make money just like Wall Street does with mutual funds. Stock market crashes, mutual funds still make their fees every freaking year. And that's how most people they see this. They see the self-directed IRAs as a very similar thing, but it's the alternative that they've been pitched by a system that loves getting those fees. We take that out of the equation. We take all those fees and vaporize them, so that once you set up, you don't have some 2% that gets charged to your account every year. You don't have to pay every time you write a check. You get a rent check from a tenant. All that stuff, I mean, that just chews into your bottom line, and I think it's wrong. And, I mean, bottom line is we've solved the problem.
So what is an EQRP?
EQRP is an Empowered Qualified Retirement Plan. And it uses the rules around the 401k system, and it allows somebody to have their own plan as an individual, so they can contribute. In 2017, they're able to contribute up to $60,000 a year. So they can pull it right off the top, or they can take part of it, and it could be a Roth, which means once they've paid taxes on it, they never have to pay taxes again. Now, this is really important for real estate folks. When we're investing in real estate, what we typically do is we buy real estate, we have renters, or we flip property. And what people do to avoid taxes is either one, they have rental income, and so there's not necessarily a tax now, but when they eventually sell, they're going to have tax. Or two, they're flipping and they're trying to do a 1031 exchange. They got to go find something new. If you use this plan and you use the Roth component, all the money that you're making in that plan, it doesn't matter whether you're flipping or renting or anything, you're never going to pay tax. You don't have to fight to get a 1031 exchange done. You just – it's tax-free forever as you're building this thing. That's the most powerful thing I think I've ever seen in terms of vehicles for investing, and most people don't even know about it.
So it's basically a 401k that's treated like a Roth where you actually pay the tax before it goes in?
Yeah, it's like people have heard of Roth IRAs. So you have income and you pay your taxes, you don't get a tax deduction, and you get to put in $5,000 or something, and then as that grows, that's cool, except you're limited because of the IRA rules. Like if you have debt on property, you've got to pay taxes on profits based on the portion of debt you have in the deal. So it's a problem to use the IRA.
Right,
The Roth is a similar thing with the EQRP. You've got after-tax money you've put in, and after you've paid the tax putting the cash in, then all the profits forever are never taxed even when you pull it out.
So yeah, I understand the Roth component, but how does that work with the 401k, with the 401k having after-tax dollars?
It really operates similarly to the IRA. So if you think about the IRA, you have your money in there, mm-hmm. and then when you're 59 and a half, you've got the ability to pull it out, and it's the exact same thing that in terms of how it operates, how you get to pull it out at that age, and not pay tax. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, it does. So I guess in terms of you consulting with your clients, somebody mm-hmm. comes to you and they say, hey, I've got X amount of dollars in an IRA. What would you tell them? Would you help them roll that into like into EQRP? How do you set up an EQRP? How do you get your money into this vehicle?
Yeah. So what people will do is they'll come to us and we'll build their EQRP, and basically we build all their documents. We set up their account at the bank that we've built a strategic alliance with. And so from the day that they call me, so you call me today and 5 days later, you're going to have a checkbook, a physical checkbook in your hand, and you're going to be contacting your IRA custodian and saying, give me my money, and they're going to roll it over.
That's great. And you can roll an entire IRA account into a new EQRP.
Oh yeah, people roll over their IRAs, their 401ks, their 457s, their 403bs, their thrift savings plans for the government employees. They're rolling all this stuff over, getting that money out of all these custodians' hands and out of Wall Street and into their hands and into their control.
And it's in their – help me understand this. It's in their control because you basically have set up a trust that they are in control of. And so essentially they've set themselves up almost as if they are the custodian.
Yeah, the way it works with the EQRP is there's an administrator and then there's a trustee, and they are – both of those people. And so they sign as the trustee, they sign as the administrator, depending on what they're doing. So there's nobody else that has to be involved. It's so simplified. It almost seems crazy, which is what I like. I like a little bit of crazy, but I like the simplicity because the complex keeps people trapped and it keeps them paying fees that are unnecessary.
So let me ask you a question. So, you know, with self-directed right now, there's a lot of people sort of operating in the gray area where there's not necessarily a lot of case law yet. With the EQ, is there any specific case law? Have there been any challenges to the EQRP?
No, and really because this has been around for the last 40 years, the code has been set up for 401ks. The laws have, and the case law is extensive. The shift came in the early 2000s. I think it was in 2001 with one of the tax reform acts that allowed individuals to have both their individual contribution and their profit sharing contribution. And all that means is that individuals got to act as the same as a GE, so they could contribute the $60,000 a year into this, or $120,000 for a couple. So this isn't something that is on the edge. What people are doing to be on the edge is they're saying that you can do a self-directed IRA and you can do really creative things with LLCs and you can take physical ownership of gold. You can't. I can show you in the code where you can't do that. You can with an EQRP. You have those options, but people are playing gray and they're screwing around with a giant gorilla called the IRS. And so we don't play that game. This is black and white.
So this EQRP is actually cleaner and less on the edge than some of the checkbook access that people have with their IRAs.
Oh, it's totally cleaner. And the only thing that's on the edge about it is it makes financial planners edgy when the people pull their assets out of those folks so that they lose the fees. That's the only edge.
Sure. Man, this is so – how have I never heard about this? I mean, it sounds like – why is this not being more talked about?
Ken, why would anybody tell you about it unless they've done it? Like if your friend has done it and now you have to tell your friends. You have to tell your friends, hey, I heard about this thing, because the system is not going to tell someone about some product that takes all of their profit-making material, which is all those funds under management, the AUM, the assets under management of all these Wall Street brokerages and all the asset the people that are holding the assets and quote-unquote managing them for you. They're getting fees, and the custodians are getting fees. There is no reason for them, unless they want to go bankrupt, to tell people that they can do this. And honestly, there are plenty of people that probably shouldn't do this because they're not responsible enough to take control. They would rather just put their head in the sand. That's not who we're talking with. Because people that are listening to this right now are the type of people that say, "I want to be in control. I am self-responsible." So this applies to them. You're just not going to hear this from Fifth Avenue. You're not going to hear it from Wall Street, because it would blow their business up if everybody was doing this. They wouldn't make any money.
So let's take it from a perspective of a real estate investor. Okay. If I'm a real estate investor and I've rolled my money into an EQRP, let's talk about the advantages of what you can do as a real estate investor.
Okay. All right. So there's two things. One, you can take all of your money that's tied up all these places like IRAs and 401ks. You can put it. You'll end up with it in your checkbook. So now your money is in your control. So you can go out there and write checks. You can do deals quickly. If you find a deal today and you need to be in it, you don't need to contact a custodian. You can write a check in 5 minutes as fast as you can find your checkbook. So the speed changes. If you're doing a deal, you don't have to explain the deal. As long as you're doing a deal that you're allowed to, like you can't buy a vacation home to live in, but you could buy a rental property. You don't have to try to explain your deal every time you're doing it to a custodian that would rather slow you down. So you've got speed. You're able to do you're able to contribute to this. Let's talk about the amount of money you can put in. You can put $60,000 per person, $120,000 for a couple in your plan each year. It's a little bit better than $5,000 in an IRA. So those two are really big. With the actual transactions, this is huge. It's the reason that nobody that's sane would ever use an IRA for a transaction to do real estate again. Oftentimes real estate has debt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when you use debt, let's say you buy a house for $100,000 and you've got $90,000 that you're going to use in debt. You can do that in an IRA. It's got to be non-recourse.
Right.
You can do it. The problem is you sell that house for $200,000 and you make $100,000 profit. 90% of that profit gets taxed currently at the trust rate. So that could be 35%, mm-hmm. even though your deal is in an IRA. It's called unrelated debt finance income.
Mm-hmm.
That does not apply to your money in an EQRP. When your money's there, you can use debt. And when you get the profit and it comes back, you don't have to pay taxes. There are no taxes due. That is totally a reason to do this. There's no reason why you'd want to get – why would you want to be subject to the tax for doing things with debt, which you know you're going to do?
That is so interesting, because literally I was working on a deal with a buddy of mine 2 weeks ago, and he was looking at investing in a company that had some debt on it. And the whole reason he didn't invest out of his IRA was because of that exact reason. But if his money had been in this EQRP, it wouldn't have applied.
That's exactly right.
Unfreaking believable, man. So there's no unrelated business income tax. There's none of that. So let me ask you this. Can you still get loans? That you can still get loans non-recourse through an EQRP?
Oh, yeah. No issues. Absolutely. And there's two different things. So just you said there's two things. One's called unrelated business income tax. That does apply. The other one is the unrelated debt finance income. So when you're getting debt, that's different. The business income is – basically, what that means is you can't have your plan invest in a business and then shield all the income taxes that would be paid, because then you become – it's an unfair competition with the company next door doing the same thing that actually has to pay taxes as a business.
I got you.
It's a little different. The real estate thing is where this is really important.
Okay. I got you. Like when there's some sort of leverage on the property that you've used non-recourse. I got
exactly.
you. Man, that's crazy.
Is your head blown right now?
It is. No, my head's blown, because I mean, I can't think of all the conversations I've had with investors over the years where, I mean, this would have changed the outcome of certain deals if they had known that this existed.
You know, it's funny. A very good friend of mine that does some training and teaches around the country was at one of his programs recently, and I was there, and he just point blank apologized to his students. There were a bunch of people in the room, and he said, "Look, I didn't know about this. I apologize for telling you guys that the self-directed IRAs was a good deal. Like, I really apologize. We will never bring those people back. We'll never talk about it again because this is absolutely it doesn't even make sense to talk about it anymore. It doesn't. Why would you ever do that?" He just didn't know. And this is a guy that is super smart, has done very well for a long time. He's in this business teaching it, and he didn't know. So most people just haven't been they're not aware of it yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't feel so bad then. I appreciate you saying that because I never heard of this before either. Now, talk to us about metals and the advantage of investing most, because that's something I don't know anything about.
All right, this is awesome. This is fun. This is where we get to break out our inner pirate and really go all in. So that was how I found out about this originally, because I was selling gold and silver and still have that company. It's mygoldadvisor.com. People can check it out if they want. Mm-hmm. And so with metals, people, you'll see things like gold IRAs or precious metals IRAs, and those are interesting because you can use your IRA money. The problem is you have to have some type of institution or depository that's holding the metals. And to me, I don't necessarily want to buy gold and silver if I can't actually hold it, control it, and take it off the grid so that it's totally, totally private and totally in my control. So it kind of defeats the whole purpose of having metals. I mean, mm-hmm. That's why people buy them from us and why they buy them in general. And with IRA, you have to have them somewhere. Now, there's arguments you can put them in a safe deposit box at a bank. I think that's playing with fire, and I personally don't recommend it. In fact, I recommend against it. And people can argue that it's fine because it's at a bank. So bottom line is, to be super safe, you're going to have it at a depository that you can't touch. The difference with the EQRP, when you want to buy metals, I'm going to ship the metals right to you. You're going to have those because you're the trustee and the administrator, and you're allowed to be a good fiduciary. And that means you just need to make sure that they're safe. You can't put them on the kitchen table and unlock your door and leave for the weekend. I mean, you need to make sure that they're in a safe or do something, and you're in control. Totally private, totally off the grid. I can't think of a better way to hedge than to have that type of power using your retirement money.
That's interesting. So when you own an IRA, you can't actually physically have possession of the gold, or at least control it. It's got to be held by a custodian or bank or somewhere. But with an EQRP, it actually gets shipped to you. You could put it in your own safe that you bury in your backyard or wherever you want to keep it.
People do it every single day, Ken.
Really?
That's absolutely what people are doing. Most typical thing people are doing is they're investing in real estate and they're buying precious metals. That's what they use these things for when they set it up. It's because they're in control and there's no counterparty risk. There's nobody that can do something and screw them in the paper markets like in Chicago on the COMEX or the Forex or anything where they're messing with these markets. Once you're holding the gold, I mean, you want to talk about feeling confident and calm. You're holding it. That's like the coolest feeling ever.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. Owning, you know, shares in gold companies and whatnot, it's not the same as actually owning the metal. If, you know, the world goes to hell in a handbasket, you want to know that you can get to your gold. You've got some currency to deal with.
Yeah, you don't want to call Delaware and say, "Hey, can you ship me something right now? I know everything's falling apart, but could you throw it in a FedEx box?" You're never going to see it. Give
exactly.
me a break.
Exactly. No. No, that's interesting. That's an interesting way to separate the EQRP from an IRA.
Oh, yeah. Night and day.
So talk about what your company does then. So how does Total Control Financial work with an investor that's interested in something like this?
So the first thing that we do is we make sure that this is a good fit, that somebody has the ability to use it. And once they do, whether they have money in a rollover that's been sitting there dead or basically in jail, that's a great reason to set one up. Or if they're going to do something like real estate investing, it makes sense for them to start putting the profits from some of their real estate deals into this plan. So we'll set up their plan, and the process is really fairly simple for them. We'll have a conversation, make sure it's a good fit, and then we set up the plan on our side. So over a 5-day period, our new customer is going to have a checkbook, and they're going to have their documents so that they've got the ability to roll all of their money into that checkbook for their plan. And at that point, they're in charge of going out there and investing. I mean, we've simplified everything to very few steps for the person that actually has to do the investing, so they can focus on that instead of focusing on all the compliance and paperwork and everything. I mean, that's the messy part that gets people into trouble.
So you've got people that obviously have money that they want to roll over, and then some that want to just set up a new 401k, a solo 401k. What are the limitations in terms of being able to put money into that year over year?
So in order to put money into it, you've got to have some type of self-employment income. Essentially what that means is you've got to have some type of income that you're paying all the FICA and the Social Security taxes on. So you couldn't have just passive income from rental properties that you would contribute in. But if you were flipping something, that's going to be ordinary income, and you'd be able to put that money into your plan as a contribution. So you've got to have something if you're going to add additional money into the plan each year, some type of ordinary income.
Gotcha. But to roll it over, do you have to be self-employed? What does that look like if you've got a big chunk of IRA sitting out there? How do you roll that into a new EQRE?
We set up the plan, and then you roll it over, and then your job is to go figure out how to make more money. And so typically, if you're 100% certain that you're going to work at Amazon or GE for the rest of your life and you're never going to do any type of lawn mowing, lemonade stand, or real estate flipping, then the rules say this is not for you. You've got to have the intention of going out and doing some type of self-employment activity.
I gotcha. Do you help advise people on that in terms of here's a way to set up some income to at least have some sort of business running to be eligible for this?
Every day. And we've got opportunities for people to even share what we're doing and creating side income from that. So because most people haven't heard about this, the best way to share or the best way to grow a brand or something is to have individuals share it that are really excited about it. So people can end up doing that and creating income by sharing this idea. So there's some really interesting ways that we can solve that problem of needing that type of income.
Gotcha. Damien, this is awesome. Man, I tell you what, it's funny. Like literally, as soon as you and I are done with this, I've got a financial advisor, a good buddy of mine. I'm going to get on the phone with him and be like, listen to this. We need to talk. We got to figure something out here because this is too good. I mean, it's too good for investors to be missing out on this opportunity.
Oh, yeah. It's too good for them. It's too bad for the financial industry because it really isn't to their benefit or in their interest to be promoting this. It's kind of like precious metals. I remember when I was buying stuff in the late 2000s and people were hesitating buying, and if their financial planner got a hold of the idea that they were going to invest in metals, they would say, okay, but don't do any more than like 5 or 10%, stay in the market. And I would always laugh. I'm like, well, yeah, but what if you think that the metals are the best possible investment? Well, why would a financial advisor ever tell somebody to go take all their money and put it in metals? I don't recommend that. I'm just saying you have to really understand where the information and advice is coming from. And there are some brilliant, awesome financial planners, and they also aren't going to get paid if all the assets are gone. Sure. So just people should understand that it's in their best interest to have something under management.
No, absolutely. Well, so Damien, you kind of know the shtick of the show. I mean, I'm sure you've worked with a lot of investors over the years and have seen some pretty amazing deals. It sounds like you've done a lot yourself. Is there one deal in particular that stands out to you as your best deal ever?
You know, it kind of was funny because I was thinking about that, and I had this one house I bought in like 2000, and I took over a mortgage. Some people were – I think they were getting divorced or something, and gave them some money and took this thing over. And it was a simple house everybody can relate to. The mortgage was like $1,200, and I had somebody that moved in was paying – and his rent – it was a lease option. His rent was $1,800 a month. He was late every single month for 5 straight years. So my cash flow on this property was $800 a month, and it was just like this goofy little house. And then 5 years later, I ended up selling it, and I think it was like $150,000 that it had gone up. So – you know, it's $50,000 in cash flow over 5 years for one house. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I get more of those? But that's a great deal. The funniest deal that was also a great deal was the house that I sold like 5 different times, and people kept totally screwing it up. The craziest people, I mentioned them in my real estate book. I call them tenant farm animals, because these people they moved in, they didn't pay a single payment. They had somebody bail them out a couple months in. Ultimately, they moved out after like 4 months. And when they moved out in the middle of the night, and they'd had a brand new baby. So I show up at this house after they skipped out on me. And I remember looking, and it looked like there was a lot of trash in the house. They had saved up their baby diapers for 4 months, and they dumped them all in the house. So I had 4 months of literally crap the house. And I was like, you know, this is the price you pay, because at the time it seemed like hell. And I remember when I eventually sold the house and cashed out, and I think I made like $100,000, $150,000, and I went, you know what, the poop was worth it.
The poop was totally worth it. Hilarious. You know, that speaks to the fact, though, that, you know, a lot of times people buy for cash flow, and they get the appreciation as well. I mean, you buy an house, you're not even expecting appreciation. You're just, you know, just collecting that cash flow, but then over time, houses appreciate. I mean, it's been proven over, you know, decades and decades that they do. Obviously, now in recent years, people don't want to bank on appreciation, but over time it does. And for you, man, you happen to buy in a super quickly appreciating market, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you're right. That's exactly what my intention was. I was there to make 100, 150 bucks a month on a house, sometimes 800. It was never about the pop, but I was smart enough to sell these things when it shot up. I was just too stupid to not do anything more, so I ended up blowing myself up with it. But that's wealth to me. It's building cash flow assets up. It's not just building up a bigger net worth. I mean, that you can't spend that, and that's always in flux and it's always volatile.
Right.
That's a great bonus, but if that's the primary, then there's going to be a lot of anxiety and a lot of potential crashes and probably likely crashes for that type of investment.
Sure. Well, and if that house that you had bought and sold over 5 years had been in this EQRP, I mean, how different would the tax implications have been for you?
I remember having a seven-figure tax bill, and I would have had a zero-figure tax bill if I had been doing this with a plan.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, I didn't know about it, and it existed back then. I simply didn't know about it. It not having this thing cost me easily $1 million in taxes.
God, crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Damon, this has been super valuable. I hope our folks check you out. If you would, maybe point us in the direction. How could folks find out more about your company? And I know you've written a couple books that I'm sure are worth reading. Where can we point them to?
All right. What I would love to do is have I'm gonna put a page on my site. It's totalcontrolfinancial.com/Ken, and I'll put a landing page there so people can get a copy of the QRP book, and I'll send it out to them. It's on me. If you all want to learn more about what I've been talking about, what we've been chatting about, get a copy of the book, and if it resonates with you, just you can reach out to me. But go to totalcontrolfinancial.com/Ken, and I will get you up to speed so that you can go from skeptic to raving fan.
That's awesome. Man, I appreciate you giving out books to our audience. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes as well, everybody. totalcontrolfinancial.com/Ken. Damon, this was awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take care.
All right.
Hey folks, it's Ken again, and I want to talk to you for just a quick second about becoming a private lender with our company, Georgia Residential Partners. If you've got money right now sitting on the sidelines, maybe it's in a bank account earning less than 1%, or maybe it's in the stock market and you're worried about where the stock market is headed, you might want to consider becoming a private lender with our company. Where you might be getting 1% to 2% on a CD or a money market account right now, when you become a private lender with us, you're actually well into the double digits in terms of return on investment. Again, if you've got money that's not working for you right now, it's sitting on the sidelines, and you want to get it into investment that's safe, that's passive, and has the opportunity to get you well into the double digits, please reach out to me. You can actually contact us through our website at dealfarm.net. Go to the Contact Us page. It goes right into my inbox, and I will reply and set up a time to talk. Thanks so much for listening to The Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.